You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. You can find my work on NBC Sports Chicago, as well as Bears Wire on the USA Today Sports Media Group. And I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're going to touch on Kareem Hunt signing with the Cleveland Browns, and of course, not your Chicago Bears. And then we'll also look at the early reporting that's out on the Chicago Bears 2019 schedule, with a couple of big games rumored to be on the docket. And that'll give us an opportunity to kind of look more generally at the opponents they'll be set to face next year, even if we don't know exactly when those games will take place. But we start with the free agent news of the week here. Former Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt signs a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. I believe the reporting I had seen was a veteran minimum salary with some built-in roster bonuses that could get him up to $1 million in total value. None of that is guaranteed, so it's mostly, you know, his pay will go up the longer he is with the team, but the Cleveland Browns themselves have no real financial risk if, for whatever reason, something is to happen and they would want to cut ship and let Hunt go again. They wouldn't owe him any guaranteed money that's built into the contract. Now, with his signing, some more information has kind of come out on what is going on from the NFL side, what Kareem Hunt has been up to in the last few weeks, and a little bit more details on where things might go from here. NFL insider Ian Rappaport has reported that Kareem Hunt, as we've kind of known, Hunt has done alcohol and anger management counseling and will continue to do so as a member of the Browns. And Hunt is meeting with NFL investigators regarding now three incidents that they're looking at, and a suspension is coming. Now, one of those incidents is obviously the most well-known one, the one everyone's talked about in his relation with domestic violence and the video released by TMZ that show him punching, I believe, and allegedly kicking a woman on the camera in a Cleveland hotel. Now, the other two incidents, I wasn't as familiar with these, but as I had kind of read up on the reporting, it started to jog my memory a little bit more, and this sounds like something I had heard at least once before. One of them occurred at a Kansas City bar in last January, where Hunt was a part of a group of men accused of assaulting an intoxicated person at the bar, and Hunt was identified as one of the victims, or one of the suspects and one of the assaulters in that incident, but there were never any charges filed against him, and it was all kind of dropped. And then this past summer, near Lake Erie in Ohio, Hunt allegedly punched another guy at some resort on some island in that area. And again, charges were not filed in that case. I believe the NFL has video from that as well, and that, which has not been made public, it's kind of factoring into this whole general disciplinary action that Hunt faces. He, of course, remains on the commissioner's exempt list, which is kind of this thing that the NFL made up recently for players in this situation. There's sort of this, you know, limbo while they're waiting for punishment and any formal suspension that doesn't really have a specific date in line. It's just sort of this wait-and-see type area for players in these types of situations. So clearly there is a lot going on with this Kareem Hunt situation besides just the TMZ video that everyone is more familiar with. And on a previous episode of this very podcast, we got into a lot of the more delicate details of how to handle and how to even just talk about this Kareem Hunt situation. So I highly urge you, if you haven't gone back and listened to the January 17th episode of Locked On Bears, it's entitled Kareem Hunt domestic violence, and mental health. We were joined by licensed clinical social worker Daniel Simpkins, who's worked with a lot of people that have been in similar situations as Hunt, not NFL players, but people who have committed crimes and those type of actions. I didn't want to say similar because Hunt was not charged with anything and has not legally committed any crimes, but people who have been through these types of situations. And we talked about how NFL teams don't necessarily have the means to properly evaluate that and how difficult it is to kind of determine how well a player is coming along in that situation. So it's clearly a difficult conversation sometimes to have, and I thought Daniel Simpkins and I thought we really hit a lot of those topics in an objective and, you know, journalistic style, with, you know, keeping the peace in mind and kind of trying to see the truth in everything that gets thrown around with the Kareem Hunt situation. But as I look into the world of Bears fans reacting to the Cleveland Browns signing this team, we've been talking about it in the Locked On Bears Facebook group, and it's largely some pretty split opinions. I'm not going to give any last names, but just looking at the discussion in the Facebook group, you know, Joseph said he wasn't particularly moved by it until he saw the contract and was a little disappointed the Bears didn't get some value there. Torben was happy the Bears did not sign Hunt. Alberto says the Bears have other guys they need to focus on resigning before they could consider guys like Hunt, but he wish Hunt would have waited a little bit. Richard is happy that the Bears did not sign him, but, you know, it felt like if they really wanted him, they would have got him. Billy was disappointed. Darian was happy. Arthur was happy the Browns got him and mentioned Ray McDonald as a sort of a evidence as, look what happened the last time the Bears tried one of these players. Cody was bummed. Jay was happy. Kevin was happy that the Bears did not sign him. A few people were a little bit more indifferent about it, but clearly a pretty wide spectrum of opinions from Bears fans, not only in the Locked On Bears Facebook group, but on Twitter as well. You saw a similar type of situation. So, you know, there's clearly, you know, off-the-field stuff that we kind of talked about on that other podcast with Daniel Simpkins, and then on the field, you know, Jordan Howard's entering the last year of his deal, and I personally think that a contract extension is unlikely to come unless Howard really takes a really team-friendly deal and doesn't go for a lot of money. But I think the Bears are going to be in need of some running back talent long-term. Doesn't have to be right away free agent, but maybe in the draft here in the next couple years. But I do think short-term, we are still at the very least going to see Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen next year. And in the report from the Sports Business Journal, it sounds like we'll see Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen in the same start to the season this year as we saw in 2018. So up next in the podcast, we'll look at what we know so far about what this Bears schedule could bring with a couple of big games. And then later on, we'll look at the Bears opponents and see what we can glean off of what looks to be on paper like a more difficult 2019 is in store. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So we move from Kareem Hunt to the Bears 2019 schedule, or at least what we know about it so far. And earlier this week, John Orand with the Sports Business Journal kind of put out a report that had matched up with a rumor that had been released earlier that the NFL is leaning toward having the Chicago Bears host the Green Bay Packers for the league's opening kickoff game on Thursday, September 5th. Now, John Orand and the Sports Business Journal, for those of you that aren't familiar with this reporter or this publication, John Orand is one of the most respected media reporters in the world of, again, sort of media journalism, where writers that write about sports media, whether it's television, it's write about other reporters, write about ratings, write about, you know, broadcast executives. Orand is very tuned in and has a lot of sources and has a track record of consistently accurate reporting. So there's no reason to really doubt too much any of the reporting he includes in here, especially as he gets into a lot of the details that you just can't make up. But this whole thing is kind of surrounding it, the NFL's 100th season celebration, which if you watched the Super Bowl and you saw that commercial during halftime with Butkus and Singletary and Urlacher and all the players playing a football game basically in a banquet hall, and Urlacher tackles Deion Sanders into a table, and it was one of the best commercials during the Super Bowl. That was to promote this 100th season of the NFL coming up next year. And of course, starting week one with Bears and Packers would start the season off with the NFL's oldest rivalry. Of course, first playing back in 1921 and approaching 200 times. They won't hit it this year. This year it'll be 198 and 199. But the first game of next year will be the 200th matchup between those two teams. Didn't quite work out to line up the 200th matchup with the 100th season in the NFL. But either way, the signs point to a repeat of 2018 with Bears-Packers in week one in prime time, just on Thursday night football instead of Sunday night football like it was last year. And instead this year, the Sunday night football game is what Orand is reporting would be the Patriots' first game, still keeping them in prime time in that, you know, that NBC slot, but it just wouldn't be the Super Bowl champion starting the season. Orand says this is the first time since 2006 that the Super Bowl champion will not appear in the league's opening game. And even beyond just that first opening prime time matchup, Orand's pretty confident in reporting some high interest in the Chicago Bears from a lot of these network executives. He said that during the Super Bowl week, you know, executives from CBS, NBC, ABC / ESPN, and of course Fox were meeting together with the NFL to try and hash out who wanted dibs at a lot of these games. And they're anticipating the matchups between the NFC North and NFC East to build a lot of ratings. And, you know, you're seeing, as we'll get to some of the opponents on the Bears schedule later on, there are some big time matchups that could be big time draws for television executives and, of course, viewers. And he said, you know, every network wants the year-to-year big name teams, the Cowboys, Patriots, Packers, and Steelers. But he said this upcoming season, the network showed a lot of interest in the Chiefs, Bears, and Rams, which you might expect, but that could lead to another increase in primetime games for the Bears. You look last season, it was week 1, week 2, week 11, and week 14 on primetime against the Packers, Seahawks, Vikings, and Rams. Bears, of course, going 3-1 in those games, with the only loss coming in the first game of the season there against Green Bay. But we could be gearing up for some more of these big-time audiences for the Bears, and a spotlight really put on this team more so than we saw last year, as they're now a bit more established, a bit more respected, defending NFC North champions, you know, a playoff team looking to take that next step and push towards the big, big game. So I think we're going to see some more attention. And even outside of the actual primetime games, just another national game, Orand in the Sports Business Journal just kind of threw it in at the end there. The Thanksgiving afternoon games likely will feature the Bears and Lions on Fox and the Dolphins and Cowboys on CBS, which, again, would be another rematch for the Bears in 2019. A little bit of deja vu on the upcoming schedule, but the Thanksgiving game ended up working out fine for the Bears last year, even though it had the really, I think, historically short turnaround playing the Sunday night game against the Minnesota Vikings the week before. It was something crazy like 84 hours between the end of the Vikings game and the kickoff of the Lions game. And sort of as a result of that short turnaround, one Mitchell Trubisky, who got hurt at the end of that Vikings game, was not able to go. And we saw Chase Daniel lead the Bears to a win in his first start. It wasn't necessarily pretty, but even when the Lions kind of tied it up as that game went on, you may remember Eddie Jackson comes away with a 41-yard pick six in that fourth quarter to pretty much seal that win. So as we look ahead to the 2019 Thanksgiving matchup, obviously I would expect, you know, unless something really drastic goes wrong, a healthy Mitchell Trubisky in that matchup. And most likely I would think the NFL heard from the Bears last year and would avoid that Sunday night to Thursday noon turnaround that was historically short. Clearly, the Sunday to Thursday turnaround is hard enough as it is, but the early Thursday game and the late Sunday night game really made that a tough task. So I would imagine the NFL tries to remedy that, but with all this attention and desire from the network executives that want the Bears in these big games, and that if there's another four or five or six primetime games, I mean, I don't know how the distribution works. There's a lot of primetime games. There's always that chance that it comes again week 11 right before Thanksgiving week 12, and the Bears are looking at another short turnaround. Obviously, that didn't take away from their ability to win last year, and Taylor Gabriel, the wide receiver who had a big game that time, he is pretty confident in this as well. I'd seen on Twitter, he referred to this, you know, the report of Lions on Thanksgiving again as an easy W. That's always seems to be the perception with the Detroit Lions, despite that being a pretty back-and-forth matchup in recent years, but the Lions underachieving with Matt Patricia, the Bears certainly overachieving with Matt Nagy. Plenty of reason, I think, to be pretty confident in that rematch as you look ahead to 2019. But there are plenty of teams on this Bears upcoming opponent list that might not leave you feeling quite as confident in the team. So, still to come on the podcast, we'll look at who is on the slate for the Bears, even though we don't know when they will be played. We do know which teams will be home and away, and we can start to piece together a little bit what this 2019 season could bring. That's next on Locked On Bears. Personally, I'm not big on making any big-time record predictions or trying to read too much into the next season's schedule when we're sitting here in February, but I do think this is a good opportunity to look at the opponents based on what we kind of know now from 2018 and the postseason, and to look ahead to at least give us an idea of what the Bears need to prepare for in 2019. Of course, you have your six divisional games, and then the two divisions the Chicago Bears will be playing against for their eight of their other games is the NFC East and the AFC West. So, of course, that would be the Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, and Washington. And then in the AFC West, Broncos, Raiders, Chiefs, and Chargers. Then that leaves you with your two, I don't know how to describe the not miscellaneous games, but where you play teams in the other divisions in the NFC that match your place in the ranking in your division. So that would leave the first place teams in the NFC South and the NFC West, which of course are the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Rams. And in that sense, that is where your strong 2018 season can serve as a little bit of, I don't want to say a punishment, but I think that's part of how the league is able to promote parity, that you're able to have the first place teams and divisions play each other again the following season, so they're not as, you're not going to be just set up with a super easy schedule across the board all willy-nilly. You're guaranteed to play two other teams in other divisions that finished at the same place you are, so it gives the bad teams a chance to play other bad teams to improve themselves, and it gives the good teams a chance to play other good teams to make sure they're not just running away with against bad opponents, and to also prove themselves against the other good teams in the NFL. But as we start to look a little bit more opponent by opponent here, I think the home and away splits for these opponents are pretty critical here. And I personally struggle a little bit with how much stock I really put into home field advantage, but I do think there is some clear advantage from a preparation standpoint of being able to play in your home stadium, have your home fans, and be able to have players sleep in their own beds and not have to deal with any of the stresses of traveling. I do think there is some advantage when you play a team at home versus playing a team on the road, especially when that team may have a stronger home crowd and be able to get some advantage from the noise that way. So the Bears do have a very strong benefit here of most of their difficult games are set to be played at home. Of course, all the NFC North teams that play at home and on the road, at home they face the Cowboys, Giants, Chiefs, Chargers, and Saints. And those last three teams were all playoff teams. They were all Super Bowl contenders in their respective conferences. And they're all going to be three of the biggest matchups the Bears face. The only other truly top-tier team is the defending Super Bowl losers. Los Angeles Rams will be on the road. And the Philadelphia Eagles, their rematch, will be on the road as well. But playing the Chiefs, Chargers, and Saints at home is obviously going to be a big boost to the Bears. But depending on how this schedule gets laid out, you're looking at some really tough stretches against teams that were among the best in the NFL last season. And there's no guarantee that the Chargers are going to be as good as they were, or the Saints aren't going to drop off for whatever reason, or something will happen to the Chiefs, or the Eagles, or the Rams, or the Super Bowl hangover, you name it. But you look at six playoff teams coming from outside of your division on the schedule. Some of that's luck, some of that is built in to the way the scheduling lays out, but that is not easy going at all for any team, and it's going to give the Bears one of the toughest strengths of schedules on paper as we start out here in the offseason. I think you can sit there and you look at the New York Giants potentially being a pretty easy game. The two against Detroit potentially could be easy. Washington's not going to be too big of a deal because Alex Smith looks to be missing that season, and they're trying to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. You also get the first game against Vic Fangio in Denver. Again, a team underachieving in recent years, still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. They'll still be adjusting to the new head coach there. And then the Oakland Raiders and John Gruden bringing Khalil Mack back to Oakland or wherever the Raiders end up playing their home games next year. I think they're still trying to figure out a stadium for that. But again, though, you look at those four opponents plus the two Lions games, those look kind of like your... I'm not going to pencil them in as W's at this point because all of those teams have the potential to change, including the Bears. But you can kind of see, you know, those four non-division opponents plus the two Lions games looks like six on the easier side. Then you have the six playoff teams you're playing against. Those are going to be the tougher side. And then the Vikings and Packers, those four games are really, to me, totally up in the air at this point. You looked at last season, those were going to be four of the hardest games on the Bears' schedule. The Vikings looked like they were trying to get to the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. The Packers regrouping with Aaron Rodgers, healthy again. And the Bears end up going, of course, 5-1 in the division. They don't lose a divisional game after that week one game against the Packers. So the Vikings became two wins. The Packers were pretty darn close to being two wins and a full division sweep. So that's why I hesitate to put too much stock into some of these teams based on how they look now and even how they might look when we enter the 2019 season, because you never know what's going to go wrong with injuries happening or, you know, players not looking as good as you might have thought they did on paper. And certainly the Bears have some opportunity to have those issues as well. So it's all up in the air, but it's clearly early look says a tougher schedule than the Bears were set to face last year. Some really high quality opponents, some cool rematches and connections to teams with, you know, the Chiefs and Matt Nagy, Eagles in the playoff rematch, Rams obviously a big rematch, the Raiders and Khalil Mack going back there, Vic Fangio and the Broncos as well, and then starting off the season against the Packers in week one on Thursday, if that report holds up, by all indications it should. It's going to be a really exciting season for the Chicago Bears, to say the least. You know, no matter what happens, win and loss, those are going to be some very, very good and exciting football games. I'm already looking forward to it. I bet if you're listening to this podcast, you are too. And Locked On Bears is going to be here for every step of the way. We're not going to fast forward through the offseason just yet, but when we do get to that regular season, you can be sure we will be breaking it all down for you the way we have for so long. So make sure you have subscribed to the podcast if you're not already a regular listener. I appreciate everyone who tunes in and checks us out for the first time or the 100th time. You are valued as a listener of this podcast, and I personally thank you for tuning in. You can also keep up with us on Twitter at Locked On Bears or the Locked On Bears Facebook page, or you can join in the private Locked On Bears Facebook group to join in on the conversation with your fellow Bears fan. You can also ask us a question using the Locked On Bears voicemail and text fan line. The phone number is 312-620-8590. You can submit your questions that way or on Twitter or on Facebook. And as those start to come in, maybe we can put together a mailbag podcast as the week goes on. So don't be shy to call or text 312-620-8590. You can play your audio on air if you want to join the show. If you just want me to read the question and answer it that way too, that's going to help us get through this offseason that much easier. It can be tough when there is no Bears football on television and the substantial, real, significant Bears news from day to day and week to week can sometimes be a little bit few and far between. But I promise it all goes a lot more smoother if you team up with your fellow Bears fan and bear down.